Today is the fourth day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. It's a special day. It's July 4th. For those of us who live in the United States, this is Independence Day, so it's like a very major national holiday for us. Those of you who are in other parts of the world may not be observing Independence Day for the United States. But freedom, especially freedom in Christ, is something to celebrate every day. But it's not just a national holiday here in the United States. It's a special day here around the global campfire as well. Today is my wife Jill's birthday. She was born on the 4th of July. And that is something certainly to celebrate. I certainly rejoice. But since this nation is celebrating its birthday, that's kind of usually got a lot of fanfare, celebration, feasting, fireworks, all that kind of stuff. And so Jill, she just has to sit back and enjoy it all. And so happy birthday to Jill. Thrilled that we can be together here around the global campfire today as we gather for the purpose of taking the next step forward together, a step forward in the scriptures and a step forward in our lives and a step forward in this year. And so let's dive in. We have been navigating our way through the book of 2 Kings for a little while. Today we will finish that journey and conclude the book of 2 Kings by reading the last part of 2 Kings, which happens to be chapter 23, verse 31 through 25, verse 30 today. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 3 months. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord like all that his fathers had done. Pharaoh Necho imprisoned him in Riblah, in the land of Hamath, so that he could not rule as king in Jerusalem. Necho leveled tribute on the land of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho set up Eliakim, son of Josiah, as king in place of his father Josiah. But he changed his name to Jehoiakim. Then he took Jehoahaz to Egypt, and Jehoahaz died there. Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to provide the money, as demanded by Pharaoh. From each man, according to his worth, he exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebida, daughter of Pedaiah from Ramah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just like everything that his fathers had done. In the days of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, but he then rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar again. And the Lord sent bands of Chaldeans, bands of Arameans, bands of Moabites, and bands of Ammonite raiders against Jehoiakim. He sent them into Judah to destroy them according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through his servants, the prophets. Surely this happened at the Lord's command to remove them from his presence because of all the sins Manasseh had committed, as well as the innocent blood he had shed. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord was not willing to forgive. As for the rest of Jehoiakim's deeds and everything he did, are they not written in the annals of the kings of Judah? Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. Then his son Jehoiakim became king in his place. The king of Egypt did not march out from his land again because the king of Babylon had seized everything that had belonged to the king of Egypt. from the stream of Egypt to the Euphrates River. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Nehushta, daughter of Elnathan from Jerusalem. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just like everything that his father had done. At that time, the officers of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem and put the city under siege. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his officers were besieging it. Then Jehoiakim, king of Judah, surrendered to the king of Babylon. He and his mother, his officials, his officers, and his eunuchs. In the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took Jehoiakim prisoner. He brought out all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the palace of the king. He cut up all the gold articles in the house of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, just as the Lord had said. He exiled all Jerusalem and all the officers and all the warriors. 10,000 men went into exile, as well as all the craftsmen and metal workers. No one was left except the poorest people of the land. He exiled Jehoiakim to Babylon. He also took the king's mother, the king's wives, his eunuchs, and the leading citizens of the land into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. The king of Babylon also took into exile all the soldiers, 7,000 men, and the craftsmen and metal workers, 1,000 men, all strong and trained for war. Then the king of Babylon made Jehoiakim's uncle, Mattaniah, king in his place. But he changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 11 years. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just like everything that Jehoiakim had done. Surely it was because of the Lord's wrath that all this fell upon Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. In the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came up against Jerusalem. He laid siege to it and built a rampart around it. The city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the 4th month, famine gripped the city, and the people of the land had no bread. Then the city wall was breached, and all the soldiers fled toward the Arabah through the gate that was between the two walls near the king's garden, while the Chaldeans were surrounding the city. But the Chaldean army pursued the king. They caught him in the Arabah near Jericho. His whole army was scattered away from him, so they seized the king. They brought him to the king of Babylon in Riblah, and a sentence was pronounced on him. They slaughtered Zedekiah's sons before his eyes, and then Zedekiah was blinded. They bound him with bronze shackles and took him to Babylon. In the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, an officer of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the Lord's house and the king's palace and all the houses of Jerusalem. He burned down every large building. The whole Chaldean army, which was under the captain of the guard, tore down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, exiled the rest of the people who remained in the city, along with those who had previously surrendered to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the crowds. But the captain of the guard left the poorest people of the land to tend the vineyards and farms. The Chaldeans broke up the bronze pillars which were in the house of the Lord, and the carts, and the bronze sea which was in the house of the Lord, and they took the bronze to Babylon. They took the pots, shovels, snuffers, and bowls, and all the bronze utensils with which they served. The captain of the guard took the fire pans and the bowls, whatever was made of pure gold and pure silver, the bronze from all these articles, the two pillars, the sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord could not be weighed. The height of one pillar was 27 feet, and the capital on it was bronze. The height of the capital was 4.5 feet. Lattice work and pomegranates went all around the capital. All this was bronze, and the other pillar with its lattice work was the same. The captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second-ranking priest, and 3 doorkeepers. From the city he took an official who was in charge of the soldiers and 5 of the king's close advisors who were found in the city, as well as the secretary, the army commander who drafted the people of the land, and 60 men from the people of the land who were found in the city. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took them and brought them with him to the king of Babylon in Riblah. The king of Babylon struck them down and killed them in Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile from her country. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, over the people who remained in the land, because he had left some people behind. All the commanders of the army and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, so they went to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They were Ishmael, son of Netaniah, Yohanan, son of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanumet, the Netophathite, Jaazaniah, son of the Maacathite, and their men. Then Gedaliah swore an oath to them and to their men and said, "Don't be afraid of the officials of the Chaldeans. Return to the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well for you." But in the 7th month, Ishmael, son of Netaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal descent, came with 10 men and struck down Gedaliah and killed him along with the men of Judah and the Chaldeans who were with him in Mizpah. Then all the people from the least to the greatest and the commanders of the army set out and went to Egypt because they were afraid of the Chaldeans. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year he became king, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, and he ate bread continually in the king's presence all the days of his life. A regular allowance was given to him from the king for his daily needs all the days of his life. Acts 22:17-23:10. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. I saw the Lord telling me, "Hurry, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." I said, "Lord, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another, imprisoning and beating those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was shed, I stood by, giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were putting him to death." Then the Lord said to me, "Go, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles." They were listening to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices, shouting, "Rid the earth of this fellow, for he is not fit to live." When they started shouting and throwing off their cloaks and throwing dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be brought into the barracks. He directed that Paul be interrogated by whipping in order to learn why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him for the whipping, Paul asked the centurion standing by, "Is it legal for you to whip a man who is a Roman citizen and who has not been found guilty by a proper trial?" When the centurion heard this, He went to the commander and said, "What are you about to do? This man is a Roman citizen." The commander came and asked him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" He answered, "Yes." Then the commander answered, "I acquired this citizenship for a large sum of money." Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Immediately those who were about to interrogate him moved away from him. The commander was also alarmed when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen because he had tied him up. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he untied him and ordered the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to meet. Then he brought Paul down and had him stand before them. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "Gentlemen, brothers, I have lived my life before God with a completely clear conscience to this very day." But the high priest Ananias ordered those who were standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there judging me according to the law, and then you order them to strike me contrary to the law." Those who were standing nearby said, "Do you dare to insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "I did not know, brothers, that he is the high priest. Indeed, it is written, 'You shall not speak evil about a ruler of your people.'" When Paul realized that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, he shouted out in the Sanhedrin, "Gentlemen, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope for the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, or angel, or spirit, but the Pharisees believe in them all. Then there was a great uproar, and some of the experts in the law who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and protested strongly. "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him?" The uproar became so great that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He commanded the soldiers to go down, take him away from them by force, and bring him into the barracks. Psalm 2. The nations conspire, but God's king rules securely. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples grumble in vain? The kings of the earth take a stand, and the rulers join together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us tear off their chains and throw off their ropes from us. The one who is seated in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he speaks to them in his anger, and in his wrath he terrifies them. "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession. You will smash them with an iron rod. You will break them to pieces like pottery. So now, you kings, do what is wise. Accept discipline, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and you will be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. How blessed are all who take refuge in him." Proverbs 18:13. If a person answers before he listens, that is foolishness that brings disgrace. Okay, so as we conclude 2 Kings, which is what we just did, we need to take a step back and just stand here for a second. This is a bit of a sobering moment. We read of the Babylonians coming into the land. We read of people being deported. We read of the rebellion of some of the kings that were put in place. And then we saw the Babylonians come and utterly destroy Jerusalem, including the palace of the king, including the temple of the Most High God. So it was back in the book of Genesis, in the 11th chapter of Genesis, that we met a man named Abram, and we've been following his family story ever since. It was his family that was to have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore, according to God's promise. And we watched them grow and become a nation. They became the children of Israel. We watched them come together as a cohesive people under the leadership of Moses. We watched Joshua lead the people into the promised land and conquer it. We went through the times of the judges, where everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, which led them to the monarchy when they set a king above them. And we went through Saul's life and David's life and Solomon's life. And now we've gone through the kings, right? So we've gone through all of them. We watched the people who were family divide themselves into two nations. And we watched them be at war with each other. Then we saw the Assyrian Empire invade the northern kingdom of Israel and conquer and defeat it, and carry the 10 tribes away, where they disappeared into history. And so for these last few days that we've been reading in the books of Kings, we haven't had any kings of Israel. There weren't any. We've just been dealing with the final kings of Judah. And today that comes to an end. The Israel that we began in Genesis 11 with Abram moving toward a promised land, that's over now. The northern tribes have been assimilated into the Assyrian Empire. The Babylonians have conquered Judah and are carrying its people into exile. And obviously, we are not done with the Bible, and we are not done with the story of the Hebrew people in the Bible. But this brings to a conclusion an era. Although a day will come where they are able to return to the land, and we will move through some of those stories, they will never be powerful like this again. They will never be in control of it again. And so as we continue forward in the Bible, we will be revisiting pieces of these time periods, the prophets that were prophesying during these time periods. But from this point forward, the Babylonian exile and the Assyrian exile, nothing will ever be the same again. Then we flip over into the book of Acts and come up alongside the Apostle Paul, and we see that his reception in Jerusalem has been less than hospitable. There's already a mob that's intent on killing Paul. He's had to be rescued by the Roman soldiers. He had the opportunity to speak to the mob, finally quieting them down and starting to speak to them in their native tongue, Hebrew. So they're listening to him, and he begins to share his conversion story, how it is that he came to meet Jesus. Paul is known in Jerusalem, and he was known as a devout servant of the Lord, trying to stamp out this teaching of the way, people who are following Jesus, and then he turns up one of them. And so he's explaining how it is that he met Jesus, and what had happened, and what transpired, and that Jesus was commissioning him to go to the Gentiles. Once he said that, it was the end of his ability to communicate with the crowd. They were very aggressively intent on getting Paul and killing him. And so once again, the Roman soldiers have to protect Paul. Which is really, really interesting, because this very empire that killed Jesus is now protecting Paul as he shares about Jesus. It's Paul coming into Jerusalem and his own people wanting to do away with him, the same as Jesus. And now he's got armed guards protecting him as he continues to speak the name of Jesus and the message of the good news of the gospel. And so the soldiers were going to basically beat the truth out of Paul until they realized that they had tied up a Roman citizen, which is against the law for them. So it was discovered that Paul is a true Roman citizen. And then he is brought before the Sanhedrin, the High Council of the Jewish people, where Paul begins to share the message. And he knows who's in that room, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he knows their disputes. He's been a part of them his whole life. And he claims that he is being treated the way that he's being treated because he believes in the resurrection. Because that's absolutely the truth. That was the thing for Paul. Jesus rising from the dead was not only proof that Jesus is the Son of God, it was also proof in Paul's beliefs as a Pharisee, believing that there is resurrection from the dead, and now having seen it happen, he knows it's the truth, which causes an internal debate among the Hebrew Sanhedrin. And all of a sudden we have the Pharisees now defending Paul. It's a very, very tumultuous time. And we will continue forward in that story tomorrow. And then lastly, we come to the book of Proverbs, which gives us another small little sentence, a little nugget of words that say so much and could have such an impact on our day. If a person answers before he listens, that is foolishness that brings disgrace. It's actually simple enough. We all comprehend it, but we all find ourselves not adhering to it. Often, we're basically being told, listen, slow down, listen closely before you open your mouth to speak. If you're already formulating the words that you're going to say, then you're not listening. And we have probably all been in those kinds of conversations. Probably both on the receiving end and on the giving end. And we could go into, a discussion about how that makes us feel, right? When we feel like when a person isn't offering their presence, they're only partially there, they're like buried in their phone while they're trying to have a conversation with you, and they're distracted, and they're, yeah, and you know that they're not paying attention to you, even though you may be pouring out your heart. We know what this feels like. Proverbs advises us against that kind of behavior. It calls it foolish. There's only so many ways we can divide our attention. And if we're going to be with somebody and listen to somebody, then let's offer our presence and be present. Let's not be offering advice or words that are spoken prematurely because we haven't listened. It's wisdom for our day. If a person answers before he listens, that is foolishness that brings disgrace. So, Father, we invite you into that. Holy Spirit, come. Our words, the things that we say, they shape our lives. They form our relationships. They affect the way that we have our existence in a more powerful way than just about anything else does. And it is true, we are not always paying attention to what we are saying. And the scriptures are telling us that this is foolishness, and that is not a word we want to be associated with. So Holy Spirit, come, help us to slow down and offer our presence and listen before we speak. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that's where you find out what's going on around here, and there is plenty going on around here. So today is the 4th of July, which is Jill's birthday, and we're celebrating that. It's also a national holiday here in the United States, Independence Day, and so it's a national holiday today. And then a few days from now, the 7th of July, this Friday, is our own global campfire holiday, the Daily Audio Bible Long Walk, which we have been talking about now for well over a week, and so we're making preparations for that, to take that day, to go be with God, to go just enjoy the rhythms of His creation, to spend time together, to waste time together. That's what we do when we're in love. And so that's what this day is about. There are a couple of resources here in the community that work so, that are just paired so well with the long walk. And they are musical resources which you can download or stream. The first one would be the Heart album, a contemplative journey into the different emotions that we feel, guided prayers into those emotions, and then musical accompaniment to just kind of allow us to just let our minds go free and wander in those emotions, inviting the Holy Spirit. That is available. If you want the guided prayers and the whole thing, you need to go to like the iTunes store and download the record. If you just want the music, you can stream it from wherever you stream. The second project, it is just really contemplative, a really good atmosphere setting, would be the Sleep album. Sleep, a contemplative journey, which is also like Heart and also available with guided prayers and scriptures kind of interspersed, where you can just stream the music. So you can look for my name, Brian Harden, or just Heart or Sleep, a contemplative journey, and you should be able to find those projects and have them available for your long walk. And then we are in a brand new month, and that has brought us into a brand new quarter. And so we have some brand new snapback hats in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. Limited edition, Navy edition Daily Audio Bible hats. It's ball cap wearing season. It's ball cap wearing season every day for me, but it's ball cap wearing season here in the summer. And these navy and white ones with the leather imprint on the front are beautiful. They are a limited edition. They are in limited supply. When they're gone, they're gone. But we've brought them out for quarter number three, and you can find those in the Daily Audio Bible Shop in the lifestyle section. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, humbly. We couldn't do this. We couldn't be here. There wouldn't be a global campfire if we weren't here feeding the flames together, showing up for each other every day, praying for one another. And if this has been life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here.